So every once in a while, I don't know if this happens to you, but every once in a while, at least it could happen to you, that you come across a shiur or a drasha or an idea, and you hear this and you're just like, boom! It's like, just, it explains everything. Mm-hmm. And part of you is like, that's amazing. And part of you is like, why didn't I think about this before? And so, maybe less than 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine, chavra of mine, shared with me, he sent me a WhatsApp of a shiur. And I listened to the shiur, I'm like, this yisod is unbelievable. So I want to share this core yisod and develop it with you. And to appreciate it, we'll give some context. So the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, you see in source number one, the Gemara in Brachos tells us something that we all know. And I can tell you, I've been doing this my whole life. And I don't think I ever paid attention. I'm sorry to tell you. I know it. We do it. But did I ever explain it to myself? Did I ever analyze it? The Gemara says, Omar Rabba Bar Chinana Saba Bishmei Derav. Kol Hashana Odom Mispala L'Hakel HaKadosh. A whole year we say, HaKel HaKadosh in Shemon Esrei. And we also say, Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat. This is the gears that we have in our Gemara. Chutz, except for Aseris Mei Tshuva, Asara Yom Shebein Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim, Shemispal, we say, HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat. Right? Mm-hmm. And the Gemara goes back and forth with a couple of opinions, and the conclusion is, Rabba Omar HaMelech HaKadosh V'HaMelech HaMishpat V'Hilchasaka Rabba. Everyone's familiar with this, right? Okay. So if you were to ask me, I would have said, I understand why you shift from Hakel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh. This is the time of Malchus. What is the difference between Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat and HaMelech HaMishpat? I don't think I ever thought about that. But apparently, it's important enough that the Gemara has to change that nosach. Happens to be it's not ma'atik because you say melech, but
yeah, if you say what, it wrong,
exactly,
it's okay.
Exactly. So that's one thing. I don't think I ever paid attention to that. That's Aleph. Beis, there is a phenomenal medrash. And I think that when I first came to Chicago, I didn't look for it, but I suspect in my filing cabinet I would find a shiur that I gave on this medrash based on an amazing B'nai Saskar. I love this medrash. I'm telling you, I love this medrash. But I don't know that I really fully understood it. Because the medrash says, Pasuk says in Tehillim, and we say this seven times before we do the tekiyos, Allah Elokim Bisrua Hashem Bekol Shofar. You familiar with this mizmar? Every you say it seven times. What do the words mean? Allah Elokim Bisrua. Elokim, which is the name of Hashem, which is focused on justice. So you could say the Lord. The Lord is elevated in a trua. And then Hashem, the name of God that's associated with mercy, is Bekol Shofar. So I think the way I used to understand this medrash is the difference between a trua and a shofar, which is true. But there's probably an omic here. Because the Medrash says here, you see in number three, it's Yalkut Shimoni, B'shash HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ole V'yoshev Al Kisei Din. When Hashem is elevated and rests, so to speak, obviously, on the throne of judgment, Hu Ole goes up in this state of judgment. U'cheshi Yisrael token b'shofar. But when we blow the shofar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omeid Mikisei Din, God shifts from the chair of judgment, V'yoshev Al Kisei Rachman. And he settles into the chair of compassion. Shenei Amar, Shteit Pasuk, Hashem B'kol Shofar. So he goes from Elokim to Hashem. How does the shofar do that? So I used to understand it had to do with the breath, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, but I think there's an even simpler, more basic shot. That's number two. Here's number three. We're going to have five questions, because this is, and you could have more, but we're going to see, just keep with five so nobody ends up sleeping here on the couch. The pasuk says to Tehillim. Pasuk says in Tehillim, "Ve'al tavo v'mishpat avdecha, ki lo yitzdak lefanecha kol chai." Do you recognize that phrase from somewhere?
Yes,
Tehillim Kufman Gimel. Amazing, Bekias. Do you recognize it from somewhere else? Not exactly this text, but something very familiar, very similar. We actually say in davening, sometimes in Slichos, sometimes on Yom Kippur, we say, Al Tavo V'Mishpat Imanu, do not come in judgment with us, Ki Lo Yitzdak Lefanecha Kol Chai, because nobody can be righteous before you, Ribono Shel Olam. This is what we say. We say to the Ribono Shel Olam many times during Slichos. Did we ever ask ourselves, wait a second, this is the time of judgment. Imagine we had a court appearance. We arrived. They present all the court proceedings. And we say to the judge, I'm sorry, I would like to be excused. I would like you not to judge me. Right? That's a joke. What do you mean? Al tavo v'mishpat imanu, because we have such a difficult record. Please don't judge us. I don't understand. That's what we're doing now. We're going into the season of judgment. The Rambam tells us there are scales. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us. We get it, you know. What are we asking when we say to the Moshe, don't judge us! Al tavo v'mishpat imanu. What do you mean?
That's where the rachamim comes in.
Good. But what's interesting is that we don't say in this line, you know, berogis rachim tiskar. We do say that sometimes. Mm-hmm. But here we're asking for something else. What does it mean when we say to God, don't, al tavo b'mishpat imanu, don't come to us with judgment. We could have said, please have rachmanus on us. Uh-huh. Right? Yeah. Which we do all the time. We ask that.
Right.
Chusa, right? Rachmanus. Here we don't, it's a little different. What is this nuance? Here's another ha'ara. Right? We say that this is the time when the Ribono Shel Olam judges us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to understand a curious Gemara. It's a Mishnah of Masechet Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin, Mishnah says at the beginning of the second parak in Sanhedrin, here in source number 5, Hamelech, if you have a king, lo don, v'lo don and oso. The king does not judge, and the king does not stand trial, cannot be judged. Lo meid, he can't testify, v'lo meid and oso, etc. So what exactly does it mean that the melech does not judge? Is that true, that the king doesn't judge? If I were to ask you, what was maybe one of the most important judges in Jewish history, or maybe one of the most famous judicial cases in Jewish history, who would you call up? It's probably the most famous, radical...
Shlomo?
Yes! What's the case?
With the baby?
Yes! Why did they come to him? They came to him because they had a dispute.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Nebuch, two mothers... Only one living child. So they didn't come to him for counseling. They came for him for judgment, to make a decision. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right? And he does a brilliant move. But what does the Gemara mean? Lo don. He doesn't judge. Of course, David HaMelech judged. Shlomo HaMelech judged. Of course he's judged. And one last ta'ara. One last question. We're going to approach, please God, Rosh Hashanah. If someone were to ask you, what is Rosh Hashanah? What would you tell them?
Yom Hadin.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we say in the davening. Hine Yom Hadin. And yet, in the Nusach HaBracha, you know, every Shemoneh Esrei has an intro and an outro. And the middle, that tells you what it's all about. So the middle is Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadosh Yisrael, Yom HaZikaron. There's the Yom HaZikaron, mm-hmm. Remember us in judgment. And then there's Melech, Malchios, Imru Lefanai Malchios. Of course, the main expression of the shofar is blowing the shofar for the Melech. So what I want to understand is, what do these have to do with each other? What does the fact that we are Mamlech Hashem have to do with the fact that Hashem is judging us? There are many, many explanations for this. But all these five issues can be addressed with one knockout yesod. Amazing yesod. So the friend of mine who sent me this shir is Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, you know, from the Five Towns. So I saw him recently, and we were catching up. I was talking to him, asking him for his opinion about something that I was thinking about for the upcoming Neely Women's Tshuva Drasha. So I was asking his Eitza. So the next day, he sends me a WhatsApp with this shiur. He says, I thought this was relevant to what you were talking about yesterday. Let me know what you think, basically. So I turned on the shiur. It's Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. And Rabbi Leibowitz is a big fan of Rabbi Reisman. He tells the yesod in this shiur, which he found in a sefer called Keren LeDavid, who was a rav in the Satmar community, not a Satmar chassid, but before Satmar, he was a rav there, I don't know, 150 years ago in a Hungarian community. And he also has this, he quoted the same idea from Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher from the Slabodka Rosh Hashiva. So I went to look up the Keren LeDavid, and I found something kind of. And then I went to find Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher, but it seems like this idea, which gets even better and better as it goes along, it probably started with the Keren LeDavid, then it's expanded, and then Rabbi Reisman expanded it, and we'll expand it just a little more than that. But it's the same Nakuda. So the origin story here of this Yisod, Rev, if you turn the page, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher, he was a very prominent Slabodka Rosh Hashiva in the 20th century, who survived the war, made it to Israel because, as the Rabbanu Shlom would have it, he was actually in Switzerland at the outbreak of the war. I think he was there for medical treatment. And because of that, you know, what happened to most of the Talmidim from the yeshivas, he actually survived. Mm-hmm. They came to Israel afterwards, rebuilt a yeshiva, kolo. So he has a collection of teachings called Leket Sichas Musar. Slabodka, he was a real Talmud of the Musar tradition. And he has an awesome Ha'ara. Chazal, he quotes Chazal right at the beginning here in this piece. He quotes a Medrash. In the beginning of Bereshis, Rashi quotes it. Shemitchila, second line here. Kishibara HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Ha'olam. When God created the world, Bra'o, he created the world, b'midas hadin, with the quality of
strict
judgment. V'ra, and he saw, she'ein ha'olam yachol hiskayim al pi hadin, that the world cannot be sustained through din, through judgment. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? V'shiteif esmidas harachamim v'hikdima lamidas hadin. So he takes a new quality and introduces it into what would have been a rubric of din, and we call that rachamim, compassion. So he goes on, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher, to explain. In the old model, just din, if a person were to have strayed one iota from the Ratzon Hashem, what would happen? They would cease to exist. They would lose their koach achios. They would be done. And there's no negotiating. It is. That's what it is. Done. But now we have a new model. We have Rachmanus. Great. So we're familiar with this idea. Look at the last line. Hanhaga zu. This, what would you call this, hanhaga, this style, this paradigm, this path, haba that comes mikoach from shitof shel midas ha-rachamim, of compassion, im midas hadin, He hanhogas, that is the quality of malchus.
And parents.
What does that mean? What does he mean? He means like this. There are two hanhogas, two M.O.s. The first is the M.O. of din. Din, that's the strict legal code. That's nature. In nature, the big fish eat the small fish. There's no negotiating, right? Mm-hmm. You could call this Mishpat HaSanhedrin. Or, in maybe contemporary parlance, you would call this strict letter of the law, the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin. Comes along, the Rebbe Shlomo says, there's another channel, another hanhaga, and that's called the Melech. The Melech judges, but the Melech judges in a different way. If you brought two mothers to a Sanhedrin, and you told them a story of two babies, does it say anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch that you should cut the baby in half? Does it say that anywhere? Right? Does Yachloku apply to babies? It doesn't apply to children. If you come to the Melech and you say, you know, there's a rich man and he has hundreds of sheep. And next door lives Nebuch, a poor guy, and he has one sheep, and he can't even afford a barn, and the sheep stays in his house. And the rich man steals the sheep from the poor man. If you came to a Sanhedrin, if you came to a Beis Din, what would they say is the punishment for the rich man who steals the sheep from the poor man? What's the din?
Kefil.
Okay, great.
That was a good guess.
That is an excellent answer. Spot on. If the rich man stole it in the dead of night, he would pay kefil. Uh-huh. He might pay, depending on how he took this sheep, because it's a sheep, he may pay $4 or $5, dal vehe, so the kefil is the sheep, right? Tavacho macharo. If he stole it at gunpoint, he would pay just the amount, like a goslin. Would anybody say that the rich man is chayav misa? Does it say anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch that stealing someone's sheep? But you know, when this story is presented to David HaMelech, what does David HaMelech say about the rich man? He says, Ben Mavis, he should be put to death. Such a cruel person. No humanity. So that's when the Navi says, you're the one, you know, I don't want to say it. You took someone else. You have plenty of people, plenty of wives you could find. You had to take this guy's wife. You know, that's what the Navi says. But I don't understand. What does David HaMelech mean when he says you should put the guy to death? Where does it say it in the Shulchan Aruch? The answer is, it's not the track of the Shulchan Aruch. It's not the track of the Mishpat of the Sanhedrin. It's not the original din. It's the Mishpat HaMelech. Melech, Kori Tzgeder, he has different rules. The Melech rules society based on what he thinks are the needs to maintain the social order at that time.
It's nuanced as opposed to the which
is... If a guy comes to the Melech, you know, here's an example. This is Rabbi Reisman's great mashal. If you go to a Sanhedrin and you present two cases of theft, a woman who stole a loaf of bread to feed her family, and a man who embezzled from his company. So would the Sanhedrin make a distinction between the two cases? Alpitin? No. But the Melech would make a distinction between those cases. The Melech might give the woman $20 and say, pay for the bread and find, you know, we got to find some way to support your family. It's a different channel. The Melech makes cheshbonos. The Melech says, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher, the Melech, Malchus is the shutaf of Midas Harachamim with Midas Hadin. It's the difference between objective judgment and subjective judgment. A person who comes to the court, according to the objective standards, unfortunately, their upbringing doesn't matter. Strictly speaking, you know, the kind of struggles they had in their youth don't matter. The family circumstances don't matter. None of that matters. Mishpat HaSanhedrin says, this is the rule. But the Mishpat HaMelech is totally different. And this is also true, by the way, that I'm kind of setting up two straw men. Of course, we have a din, Makin Va'onshin Shalom and Adin. The Bezdin also has the ability to invoke at times this type of thing. And that's why there are also, even in American law, there are sentencing guidelines, but there's also flexibility. So this, it's a little bit of a straw man dichotomy here. It's not true that a bet, like today, if you were to go to a Bezdin, it wouldn't be, of course, a heartless type of, you know, we were witness here in Chicago to Rav Agon, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who is a man of incredible compassion and humanity, that he was mishatif with the Midas HaDin. But I'm speaking typologically. Malchus means Mishpat HaMelech. It means subjective. It means contextual. It means relational. Oh, if now I understand this, I can understand everything. What are we saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam on Rosh Hashanah? We're saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course this is the time of judgment. Of course we're prepared to appear in court and we have to take achrayas. But what we're asking you is to appear to us, to present to us your tzad of Malchus, of Mishpat HaMelech. Melech oev tzedakah o mishpat. The Melech loves charity and judgment, two separate things. And you don't mix them. According to the Sanhedrin, justice is black and white and it's objective. You want to give tzedakah? You can give tzedakah afterwards. But you don't mix tzedakah and mishpat. That's wrong. And the Torah tells that in many places, that if you come before a court and you are facing a litigant who is impoverished, or Rahman al-Islam, you're on that side of the fence, the judges have no right to favor the poor person. It's against the law. You're not allowed. It's a civil case. It's not allowed. But on Rosh Hashanah, we say to the Moshe, do us a favor. Put that away. Now I understand the difference. We just say, HaMelech HaMishpat. Judge us like the Melech. Because the Melech, you could say, Epis something. What is it that makes Hashem Yisbarach transition to move from the Kisei Din, from the chair of judgment, to the Kisei Rachamim, the shofar? What is the shofar? It's the act of coronating Hashem. By us declaring Hashem is the Melech, he says, oh, if I'm the Melech, so now we go to the Hanhaga of Malchus, of Midas HaRachamim and Midas HaDin. That's what we do by the Tkiyah. It's the Tkiyah that we blow, that we coronate Hashem with, which creates, that's what generates the Rachamim. Because now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, I'm the Melech, Melech Poritz Geder. I could break all the rules. One awesome fart. Now I can understand why the shofar invokes the Zchus Avos, the Akedah. Can you imagine a guy goes to the court and unfortunately he's convicted of a crime. He committed a crime, whatever that crime was. And he stands before the judge and says, ah, judge, you should remember that my Elta Zeta, he was really a righteous man. Now, how far is that going to get you? That's not a winning argument in court, right?
Right.
But if it's not the Mishpat HaSanhedrin, if it's the Mishpat HaMelech, so you say to the Melech, oh, you know, I really think that you're a great king. Happens to be, you know, last week I drove my SUV over the palace dog and I killed a dog. I'm so sorry about that. But you remember, my grandfather was your best friend. It's a different thing. right? Because the melech doesn't play by the same rules. So the melech, it makes sense to say to the melech, remember my grandfather and your, remember they go back a long way? Because that's what we're looking for. We're looking to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Hanhag of Malchus. And through the Hanhag of Malchus, anything goes. Could you imagine? David HaMelech, he witnessed the worst type of betrayal. The worst type of merida b'malchus. What's the halacha for a morid b'malchus?
Death.
That's it. And what happens? David HaMelech's own son, overthrows the kingdom, seeks to kill him. Right? And what does David say at the end? He says, what does he say? Don't kill him. Don't kill him. What do you mean, don't kill him? It's Mori B'Malchus. The answer is, David HaMelech says, Erez Manzin, this is my kid. And he's heartbroken. Avshalom B'ni, when, you know, it doesn't go that way at the end. So you ask, what do you mean, David HaMelech? It's the law. The answer is, David HaMelech says, don't tell me what the law is. I'm the king and this is my kid. So we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're the Melech and we're your kids. It's true. If it were just by the book, we'd have no chance. Now, in this light, I can understand that great line. Al tavo b'mishpat imanu, ki lo yitzdak lefanecha kol chai. Don't approach us, don't look at us with mishpat, meaning the mishpat of Sanhedrin. Don't look at us and say, we're going to go by the book. Rather, don us with Malchus. With the Mishpat of Malchus. Makes perfect sense now. Now, you see that Gemara? That Gemara, what are we talking about when the Gemara says, HaMelech lo don velo don in oso? What does it mean the Melech doesn't don? It means the Melech doesn't sit on the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara there explains, the Gemara has a discussion, maybe it's Malchus Beis David, Malchus Yisrael, there's a difference, but the Gemara says, you can't have the Melech sitting on the Sanhedrin because people can't have an honest conversation. You know, you can't have a bezin of 73 men and one of them is the king. It won't work. So when the Mishnah says the Melech is not done, it means he's not done in the Sanhedrin. But of course he's done as the Melech. It's a great shot. It's a slam dunk. That's what it means. He's lo dan, meaning he's not dan bevechina Sanhedrin with the mishpat of the Sanhedrin. And now I can understand what the Malchus is on Rosh Hashanah and how Malchus is inherently related to the whole inyan of the Yom Hadin. Because what we're saying is the Ribbono Shel Olam is Ola Elokim Misruah. The fact that this is the beginning of creation. So every year we go back to that. The default is Yom Teruah. It's a day of judgment. So what do we do? What's our strategy on the day of judgment? The same way that Rav Yitzchak Isaac Scher points out that the Ribbono Shel Olam, when Adam was created, introduced the concept of Hanhogas Malchus, of giving Adam HaRishon the opportunity to mend, to try, Vaharaya, when Adam HaRishon, when he made that first fatal error, what should have happened to him according to the Mishpat HaSanhedrin? According to strict law, what should have happened to him immediately?
End of his life.
That's right, game over. Game, set, match. But what? As Rav Sher points out at the end of the piece, no, the Rachmanus came around to be mekabel him. This new Hanhaga, give him another chance. Give him a chance. And that's what we're saying in Rosh Hashanah. We come back to the original introduction of Hanhaga of Malchus. It's the return to the Brias Ha'olam. In Brias Ha'olam, we experienced this creation of Malchus, this introduction to this new Hanhaga, and Adam HaRishon, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him a little extra. They didn't deserve it, but he gave them a little extra anyway, because this is the Mishpat HaMelech. So why do we say to the Rabbanu Shalom, isn't it so fascinating? We come on the Yom HaDin, does anyone say, I'm sorry, I'm accountable, I did it, I shouldn't have? No, we leave that for later. The only thing we say on Rosh Hashanah is HaMelech.
You're the king.
You're the king. Why is that the first step in the whole process? We're going to spend the whole week saying we're sorry, and then we're going to say you're sorry on Yom Kippur, right? Shouldn't have you done the opposite? Shouldn't have you had Yom Kippur first? Many ask this question. You should have had Yom Kippur first, say you're sorry, and then come in judgment, and then have Rosh Hashanah. But the answer is, if we had to start by saying we're sorry, lo yistak lefanecha kol chai, we would never get to first base.
We got to set the stage.
That's right. First, we have to establish that Hashem Yisbarach is the Melech. Mm-hmm. We are going to relate to Him as the Melech. We're going to invoke the Hanhagas Hamalchus, that Hanhagah that includes Rachmim, and then we can have a conversation. Then we can really think of what it means to relate to Ribbono Shel Olam through this new Tzura, and hopefully be Nechtam for Ksivah Simetova. It's going to take that Mishpat HaMelech, and it totally redefines exactly how we understand it. So I thought it was an amazing vart. We add a little bit Nofach Mishalonu. I just want to add that tonight's learning is Le'ili Nishmas, Maras Meitel Tziril Bas Reb Chaim Yitzchak HaKohen, Zichrono Levracha, who is the first yard site of Jessica Weiss's mother. So Neshama should have an Aliyah, and we think of her, and we should all share Besuras Tovos.